So as Paul was finishing up this letter to the Galatians, he was writing to this church that was newly formed. It was a new church, but it was a church of both Jew and Gentile, as we discussed last week when we were looking at chapter 5. And in the midst of a church with multiple people of different ways of being and believing, there becomes this tug of war between what's the right way to do things and what's the wrong way to do things. And people always have that approach of, well, this is the right way, you're doing it wrong. So Paul is speaking to this church about what they need to do as this body of Christ. He's asking them that if they find someone who is transgressing in sin, not to be judgmental and finger pointing, but to be gentle and encouraging. It's a little bit easier to say to someone, you look like things are not going quite right in your life, how can I help? Rather than saying, do you know what you did? That maybe the gentle approach of bringing someone who is straying or having a difficult time back into the body of Christ will bring more change of heart through God's touch of the Holy Spirit than our desire to let them know that they're doing something wrong. But the other thing Paul is talking about here in this place, in this part of the letter, is the fact that this body that has come together has this need for boasting about what they are or aren't doing. And he wants them to recognize that the only thing that we should be boasting about is about the Lord Jesus Christ and how God is moving in and about and through us into the world for a new creation. And I love that in verse 9 when he talks about not giving up, not to give up, because the work that we have before us isn't a quick fix. It's a long haul work. And I don't know about you, but do you sometimes get weary in this work? Do you sometimes feel like God is never going to bring about this new creation? Do you sometimes feel like you've dug your seeds too deep into the soil and you're never even going to see a sprout? It's hard, long work. But Paul reminds us not to give up. That we're not sowing seeds of salvation for our own benefit. We're sowing seeds for the kingdom of God. And it's in God's timing, in God's will. And as long as we don't get weary and give up, the harvest will come. And the new creation will happen. But sometimes what we tend to do is we tend to want to see things the way they were. We tend to want to build things up so that we can say, see what it looks like? See what I've done? See who I brought into the church? See me, 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 me. And God says, when we try to reap benefits for the kingdom in our name, sort of like bad fruit, it's a little bit hard to swallow. But if our choice of seeking those in our community that look so different and unique than us, as I told the children, you know, the variety of children that sat on that bench, the variety of people sitting in these pews, the variety of people outside these doors would make a beautiful new creation in Christ. Our reason for leaving this place and going out and seeking people who don't know the saving grace of Christ isn't for the benefit of us seeing our pews filled. It's the benefit for the salvation of the world. So it's that mind switch that is important for us as we might grow weary because we see empty pews. Because as we grow weary and see empty pews, what do we want to do? We want to fill the pews. Do we want to fill the pews so that we feel better? Or do we want to fill the pews because they need to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ? We just need to make sure, Paul is reminding these people in Galatians, we just need to make sure that the motive that we do the work that we do for Christ is for Christ's glory and not our own. So this Can you believe it? That this struggle was happening even back then? That people were still doing things so that they could have the title or the glory of being the one who did X, Y, or Z rather than God? And so as he moves into this last piece, he's talking about circumcision and non-circumcision. He's talking about rules and laws and the law of Christ. So this was a people who had some Jewish roots and some who had Gentile roots. And the Jewish roots believed that the only way to be a true Christian was through circumcised flesh and Jewish law. I don't know about you, but I'm not a male over 20. But if I were a male over whatever age and was told I needed to be circumcised, I might have a little bit of wonder if I want to be in that faith tradition. And what Paul is reminding them is that it's not the laws and the rules that have to be literally followed. It's about the law of Christ. It's Christ, circumcised or uncircumcised. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if you know that the cross of Christ is upon which you were crucified and the world was crucified to you, if you know that and you believe that in your heart and mind and soul, then you are a disciple. And if you follow Christ's law of love, then you have met all the requirements of both the law and the prophets. Because the law and the prophets, if you read my article in the paper, the law and the prophets hold on to two particular commandments. Do you know what they are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if that is how we are living our lives in Christ, then we have fulfilled the law. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that new creation. Can you wait for that new creation? It's like, come on, Lord, bring it now. Bring it now. I want to see it. But it's not just that we, as individuals who accept Christ into our lives, become new creations in Christ. We, as the body of Christ here, as we are refined by God's Spirit, and refine one another and care for one another. Because that was another piece, that we care for one another as the body of Christ. As we do that, we become a new creation. And as a new creation, we move out into our community. Can you imagine Vance County as a new creation? If you're shaking your head no, then you don't believe in the power of God to do that. Because God can do that. God can transform you and I. God can transform this church, and it's going to happen. And God will transform the world. So this morning, we're coming to this table of Christ. We're coming to this table when Christ reminds us that we gather here at this table as often as we can to remember. And what are the things we're supposed to remember at this table? We're supposed to remember that Christ died so that we might have life and have it eternal. We're supposed to remember that it is important for us as the body of Christ to gather here. But we're also to remember the story of God's love each time we gather here. That God's love transform the world. God created us out of love to be love so that we might love God's creation. God calls and invites all to his table who love him and earnestly repent of their sin. And as I was studying this passage, there was someone who wrote about being a pastor in Iran. And Muslims who had fell in love with Jesus wouldn't tell anybody that they were in love with Jesus. And they would come to the communion table. He didn't ask them if they were baptized. Because if anyone found out that a Muslim had been baptized in Christ, they would be dead in Iran. But they were accepted at this table, at Christ's table. This table is a means of grace that even if we don't know if we are worthy to receive, God sees us as worthy and can be a transforming moment with the bread and the juice as we remember what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But the other term I love is that we are remembered as one body. We again become one body around one table, one meal, one God and Father of us all. This is the table of many, many different faces and places. This is the table of God's grace. This is the table that will be a feast table in the new creation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.